This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are, well, we're going to start off today and talk just a little about United Airlines and what has happened in the last 24 hours. We're going to talk about Google Wi-Fi and family control. We're going to talk about how fast H-1B visa applicants were basically filled. Of course, it's happy birthday to the iPad. We'll talk about that a little bit. And we're going to talk about how hackers have hacked FAFSA for any of you that have kids with student loans or in college at this time. You're just going to love this because they may have gotten to your tax info via that website. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1192 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 10th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome. Got a great show lined up for you today. Kicking things off. Interesting way the show is put together today. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But if you're brand new to the show, and this is the first time you've tuned in, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. And I want to encourage you to visit our website, or visit my website at geeknewscentral.com. Let's see if I can bring that up on the screen here. Oh, hello. Why didn't you? There it goes. Go over to geeknewscentral.com, and you'll find on the right-hand column of the website the ability to subscribe to the show. If you're an Android user, you can subscribe there via iTunes. If you want to get the show via old-school ways, you can even use your email account. Google Play, if that's your flavor, Stitcher, TuneIn, or an RSS feed, just on an old standard cool podcatcher. If you have no idea what I'm talking about in being able to subscribe to the show, just click on the more subscribe options on the homepage. Of course, we want you to sign up for the newsletter, so just scroll down a little bit further and you'll find the newsletter link underneath the important links section. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during today's show. That way you'll never miss anything that I'm talking about, and then links will be in there, and it's sent out directly following the show. Don't worry, I do not, for a better word, I don't spam you. It's just a one-time email that comes to you. All right. I don't know why my system is okay. There we go. Pushing too many buttons at once. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. If you have comments on today's show, it's real easy. Just email me geeknews@gmail.com and follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, you can join our Slack channel by jumping on and dropping me an email and say, I want to be part of the Slack channel, and just join the conversation over there. And of course, really, you can listen to the show. I'm betting on all cylinders tonight. Ha, 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 not. You can follow the show on Google Plus, on Facebook. You can watch the show on Roku, on Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or view on Blueberry.com. Or you can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Don't forget about our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, and of course, the Pro Gear site being done by the GNC team. And of course, the new media show as well. Longest running continuous sponsor of our podcast is the podcast sponsor of this show. That is GoDaddy.com. We want to thank GoDaddy for their ongoing continued support of the show, and you can find information about GoDaddy products and services at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all you got to do is, once you get over on the website, you're going to find really everything that you need there to save money on, whether it be a new domain, whether it be 30% off on a server product, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, or even our GoDaddy website builder offer, which seems to be becoming more popular. But those two hosting deals the managed WordPress hosting and the economy hosting is really the most popular ones, and a great way for you to get online with either of those codes. Share those with your friends, family members, people that you know. We want you to share them. We want you to tweet the link to this page, or share it with folks in your Facebook. You know, anyone you hear that's talking about doing something new and online, we want you to have you share the geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy page. Bring them over here so that we can keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the bills paid. Really, they are essential to the ongoing, well, support of my family and this show. So we want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship of this show. And I want to thank you for supporting them as well. All right, kind of off to an interesting start tonight. And let me just kind of tell you why. Today, Kirk, my new, I guess, executive producer, executive assistant, we're coming up with a fancy title for him, did basically the show prep. And he went through, got him set up on email. Of course, we talked about this on the last show that I've hired an assistant. Got him set up with email. We made a joint Feedly account. I got my feeds transferred over there. Gave him some very basic instructions on how to prep the show. And he found me about 100 articles. So I have to give it a little, we're going to do some little, it's going to take a few cycles to kind of get this down. A lot of stuff to go through. And, so I had to pare it down to the typical show size. And usually I start with about 50 and then I usually throw out about 20 articles. He dug in deep today. So today's show, the prep was largely done by Kirk and basically getting me the articles found. And then, I went through and reviewed and we'll go into them today. So a little bit different change of pace here and definitely at least an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes of time savings. So he's paying for himself already. So that's exciting about having Kirk on board and I'll be talking about him a lot more as we move forward. So one thing I want to talk about just a little bit is part of my stack is we're getting close to tax due date day for personal taxes. Everything's been into my accountant. We were having some problem with my daughter's 1098. And the college, and this is a little deeper story, and I don't know how much I shared the last time, but what happened was about 3 months ago, or maybe even 4 or 5 months. It's been a while. She applied for a financial student aid through FAFSA. She's going to community college. So the total amount isn't that much. It's a couple grand for assistance for this quarter. And they denied the payment. And it was because they said that my daughter had not registered for Selective Service. Well, for any of you that know anything about Selective Service, girls don't have to apply for Selective Service. Only the guys do. So we're trying to figure out where in the system did they have her logged as a male instead of a female. And it took us a while, and we finally figured out where, or she took it took a while for her to figure out where it was an issue. Get it changed, and then she's went through like 3 rounds with the college because we're already close to the end of the semester, and there was stuff from last year, so it's a mess, right? And so her 1098-T was not done. It was blank. So any of you that have college kids, I know how important this 1098-T is from a tax perspective. If you make too much, you don't get to use it. But, you know, if you fall within a certain income range and you have enough deductions and everything else going on, you'll be able to use it. So last year, my accountant said, nope, can't use the 1098-Ts. You might as well just shred them. It won't work. We can't use it anyway. This year, little change in a few things, and bam, we could use the 1098-T this year. So the accountant today says, I'm going to give you a total. You're going to write a check to the IRS, and we're going to file an extension. You still have to send your money in, but if we get her 1098-T, it'll drop me down a bracket. And just, you guys know there's a big difference between one bracket and the next, and I'm on the edge. So I'm going to pay for the, as if I was in the higher bracket, but hopefully when we get her 1098-T, which I'm being told now it'll be updated in a couple of weeks, it'll drop me a bracket. And typically the difference in brackets are 3%. So, you know, that could be, you know, a nice hunk of change that, you know, maybe we'll apply it against next year. So anyway, for the first time in my adult life, we are filing an extension for my 1040 because of this stupid fiasco with this 1098. I got a story that goes along with this that was going to scare many of you a little bit later in the show, talking about some issues with FASPA. Anyway, we'll save that for a little bit later in the show. But anyway, just, you know, share with you guys the stuff that's going on here. Hey, Clint, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining. And I like your comment, hack the database and erase the debt. Now, how you solve that, Clint, is you just have a whole bunch of inflation and you get rid of the debt that way. You know, you just print money that's worth nothing, and you know, that's how you fix the debt. You pay off the creditors, but you do it with worthless cash. You know, and where a sandwich costs you $100 or something. You know, that's the type of thing. All right, the Podcast Awards 12th Annual, where the site is, I think we're just about done. And but the reveal is still 20 days out. I'm having everything gone over now and copy edited and all that stuff that I'm not necessarily 100% good at. So that's going on. So we'll have the big reveal in and around May 1st. Of course, I did a new media show this past Saturday with Rob Greenlee and Dan Franks from Podcast Movement. So we talked about that upcoming event in August. And then as soon as the show was done on Saturday, I had to blast immediately and run my 13-year-old to his middle school game. And then we found out right at the end of the middle school game that his AYSO 14 game had been rescheduled to the afternoon. So it ended up being a complete soccer Saturday again, although I took the liberty of a Saturday 90-minute combat nap. It was beautiful. Sunday, I worked here at the desk almost all day on proposals and the stuff that I have to do to keep a company running. And then we had just the typical, you know, husband stuff, and we did yard duty and got all that taken care of. But tree trims and palm tree trims and stuff in Hawaii grows like it's just unbelievable. I mean, if you go more than a month and you're not looking at your palms and you're looking at stuff here, just explodes. On my small 8,000 square foot lot that I'm actually 7,900 square foot lot, 7,900 square feet. You guys know those, many of you live in communities where you have to put the green stuff in green bins. And we have, green bins are as big as a regular full size, roller trash can. I fill two of those every 2 weeks, with, clippings and stuff from here in the yard. So, truck is coming on Wednesday, so we got those filled and ready for them to pick up the green, and wherever they take it, I don't know, but they it doesn't go in the landfill. That's the main thing. But anyway, that's it for just kind of my regular chit-chat stuff at the beginning of the show today. Welcome everyone to the podcast, and we'll see how the show goes today. And Kirk has had his hands on the till. I've added some of my stuff as well. I went over the top of what he had looked at and picked up a few things, and then whittled it down from about 100 down to, I don't know where we're at here number-wise, but probably more than I can cover during the show today. But I want to start off, and this really isn't tech related, but if you've been underneath a rock over the past 24 hours, this insanity that happened with United Airlines and a passenger, I have flown over 1 million miles on United. I have witnessed individuals who have gotten arrested for sexual assault on an airplane. I have witnessed Washington, D.C. commuter flight where everyone trashed the airplane from one end to the other by throwing their shit everywhere. I have had 3 medical emergencies where we've landed in an airport that we weren't destined for, and wheeled somebody off in a wheelchair. And the only thing I haven't had to this point is a death. And I have had some things happen at the gate where people weren't allowed to board. And I've seen situations where they have just like today in this flight out of Chicago, where individuals would not volunteer to take the money and be on the airplane. And they were, you know, we're going to give you $400 and we're going to give you $800 and $800 and we're going to rebook you on the first flight out. We're going to put you in first class and have no one volunteer. And had them seen them come on the airplane like they did on this Chicago flight and said, you and you need to deplane. I've heard cussing, swearing. I've never heard any yelling. But one thing that I do understand, and this is just for all of you that don't fly that much, if you are not a frequent flyer, now listen to me carefully here. You know, I get the pleasure of, I have status, I've flown a lot, I get a lot of upgrades, I get free upgrade coupons, so I'm a spoiled baby. So let me just speak to those of you that only fly once in a blue moon. Here's the deal. When you book your ticket, book your seat, okay? You can sign up for the United, for any airline, sign up for their mileage club, okay? Get access to the website and get your seat selected at the time that you book your ticket. Then, if you're leaving at 7 a.m. the following day, 23 hours and 59 minutes before you already depart, you either go online and check yourself in, or you call and check yourself in. All these airlines have apps now that allow you to basically put your Mileage Plus thing in, it links your reservation, and you can check in 24 hours in advance. Here's what happens. If you are a non-frequent flyer and you are flying on a airfare that is on the lower end of things, let's say you bought it from a broker or you bought the ticket, you found the cheapest possible fare. And we all do that. I even do that myself. So the key to not getting asked to get out of the airplane is checking in online. What they do is they look at status and all this other stuff. And then in the end, what they really trigger, what they're supposed to trigger it off of, at least United Airlines does, is if you checked in last, in other words, you didn't check in the day before, you forgot, you get to the airlines, you check in at the counter, this is the first time you have checked in after booking your ticket, your chances of getting bumped have just went up dramatically. So if you check in early, not at the airlines, 24 hours in advance online, this will reduce your chances of getting bounced. Then get to the airport 2 hours early. If you're, again, if you're not frequent flyer, number one, you're going to have to stand in the economy line and wait. And you may have a long, depending on the time of day, you know, be a little proactive and get there a little earlier. So it's a sequence of events. If you check in at the counter even a little bit earlier, it helps you. So there's a whole bunch of factors. So when they have to bounce some people, even though you may have bought the cheapest ticket for that flight, because you checked in 24 hours in advance, you're probably not going to get bounced off the airplane. All right? So don't delay. And this is about the, and everyone's speculating today how this works. trust me, after all these years of doing this, this is how you prevent yourself from getting bounced. Now, if you do, and what I always do is if I've got time, like, you know, if you're, and you're outbound and you're trying to come to Hawaii, you don't want to give up your seat because you've paid big money for that. You're coming, you got a hotel reservation, you got your thing scheduled. I understand you want to get there on time. Okay. If you're flexible, I volunteer anytime I can because I fly enough, $400 here, $600 there, $800 here. You know, next thing I know, I've got enough vouchers for first class. So I'm always, if I've got time, and you know, and oftentimes, if you go up and when they're asking for volunteers, you go up to the agent, say, when will I be able to get on my next flight? If I volunteer, when will you have me out? And sometimes they'll say an hour and a half, 2 hours, 4 hours. So is $800 worth a 4 hour delay? Is $800 worth a day delay? Maybe. Is that worth taking an extra day of vacation? You get $800. Now you have to use those vouchers in a year. That's the difference here. Don't forget that. So if you take one of those vouchers, they're good for a year on United. But what United did today to this passenger, absolutely unacceptable. And it's been all over the news. I tweeted about it. I posted it on Facebook. It is the airline's prerogative. And it's these carriage rules that go back to like when trains were running on how these things developed. And the attorneys have written these rules on your ticket that is really ridiculous. Now, and this individual becomes stubborn. He didn't want to give up a seat. He had to get home. I understand completely. Been there, done that, you know? And, but for them to have drug him out like that, they could have took 5 minutes. These police officers could have took 5 minutes, talk to this guy calmly, with reason, cleared the seats around him. If he's still refusing and they have to, you know, unfortunately they have to onboard him. And that's the way it goes because that's what the hell they do things. They could have done it without busting a guy's lip and dragging him down the damn aisleway. Absolutely unacceptable what United did today. And seriously stresses my ability to do business with them. And the outrage on social media today was massive. Still going on. Ranking on Twitter, but to see a passenger drug down the aisleway, just ridiculous. Chris is saying combat nap. Combat nap becomes okay. When I was in the military, whenever we could get 20 minutes sleep between missions or events, or if we were on the way to track or when, you know, because I flew in the Navy. Anytime I could get 20 minutes, we called it a combat nap. So a nap equals combat nap. So, you know, it really wasn't a combat nap, but it was a nap. So the military guys that listen to this show know what I'm talking about. But so I'm hoping this advice I'm giving to you today on the show, which is not at all tech related, will help you if you ever run into an issue you're getting ready to get bumped. Would I probably sit there and been stubborn? Maybe. But it's really difficult for me, as pissed off as I would have been. It'd been really difficult for me when police officers, knowing the ramifications of doing something that could end up in a federal court and get you banned from flying. This guy's not going to get banned from flying. He's gonna own part of United before it's all over. You know, and United really handled it really, really bad. And I understand sometimes they got to get employees to one location to, you know, meet an airplane crew, you know, but piss poor planning on United's part does not constitute an emergency on mine. But they sure invoked it today. But you know what they should have done? And I know this is the reason why they didn't go higher than 800. That's all they can give is 800. Now, maybe if it's a first class passenger, maybe they can give a little more. But they should have said, all right, you know, 900, 1,000, 1,100. You start getting up to $1,000, $1,100, $1,200 range of, do we have any takers? People probably would have volunteered to get off the flight. And believe me, they lost millions and millions of dollars in business today. So this is what could go wrong, has went wrong. And I guess one of these police officers that were that has been suspended said he did not follow protocol. But I would not want to have to be a PR dude for United today. But then letting him get back on the airplane? What kind of a screw up is that? He's got blood on him? All right. They had no choice then. This exposed blood. They had to empty the airplane and wipe the airplane down for health reasons. They could not leave. So what a freaking mess. Anyway, I had to talk about it because I fly so much. I do have tickets with United going to Vegas. I've already pre-bought. You know, I spent too much money on those tickets to make a change. But I'm going to be as loud and vocal and expressing my displeasure with United as for a while. And I hope you do the same. Okay, let's talk just a little bit about something Google's rolled out called Google Wi-Fi. It now makes scheduling internet time easier. And this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Parents can set in a scheduled pause. It's a new feature in Android called Google Wi-Fi that lets you automatically pause the internet for everyday items like bedtime, winding down at the end of the day, homework. This is fantastic. You can set a schedule and you can basically, with your mobile phone, shut the internet down. Beautiful. Why have they not done this on all devices? Android, iPhone. This is awesome. So I'm really looking forward to I've got, you know, a couple of Android test phones here. I look forward to getting an update and seeing how this works. So anyway, we'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Also, last Monday, the government began accepting applications for H-1B visas, and it's a lottery. They hit the limit of 65,000 in 3 days. It sounds like it was like this miraculous thing that happened, or it hit the limit in five. No, it took them 5 days to do the lottery. But U.S. Customs will make targeted visits to employers with high H-1B usage. Beautiful. Especially if they have a high number of H-1B compared to U.S. workers. The same goes for employers that hire H-1B workers and then have them working off-site at another company. So that part of the H-1B program, I do not agree with this at all. All right, April 2010, the iPad went on sale. The iPad, can you imagine? Think about this. We've only had the iPad since 2010. How did, you know, and many of you have an iPad, many of you have an Android tablet. How did we live without tablets? It changed everything, didn't it? If I leave the house and I don't have my tablet, if I'm down the road a quarter mile, I turn around, come back and get it. That's how much I rely on my tablet. Of course, my phone too, right? The other day, I was taking Chris to school, got on the highway, and, I did the pat, 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 and my phone wasn't in the car. Of course, I was just taking him into town and bringing him back. So, you know, I was without my phone for about 90 minutes. So I was like pissed that I left it at home. But we get more mad about leaving our cell phone and our iPad than we do, you know, leaving our wallet at the house, right? So it's hard to believe it's only been 7 years since the iPad's been on the market. Just an amazing run, short time. And I'm My iPad has, and I'm probably going to go into Apple and talk to them, is the battery's just going, bleh. I've never had an iPad, even my oldest ones, and we've got a couple of Gen 2s around here. Matter of fact, I took the Gen 2, actually Gen 2s went to Japan. We gave them to the cousins in Japan. Those batteries never went off, but this one, I don't get near the amount of time that I used to, so I don't know if I can do a battery replacement. It's still a great device. I'm probably getting it repaired. It's out of, I think it's already past the time for Apple Care. I'll have to double check it, but yeah, the battery's just, you know, lasting maybe, and I'm seeing it to deteriorate even more. So either there's going to be a battery replacement, or there's going to be a new iPad in my future here. But I can't even hand this one down because it's acting funny. So we'll see what happens here. Hey, this is horrible. And the government knew this. Check this out. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen testified before the Senate Finance Committee Thursday that a breach had been discovered in the fall. Yes, last September, he said his agency discovered that fraudsters could use someone's personal data to fill out a financial aid application, and the data retriever tool would populate the window with tax information. So here's what happens for those of you that don't know about FAFSA. So your kid goes in to apply for student aid, financial student aid, a student loan. And we've had a discussion on here on this show on how that's going to work with my kids, right? So those of you who've been around for a while, know my plan. Finish school, dad writes a check. Don't finish school, you don't get a check. All right, that's shh. Okay, so so the kids go in and they fill out their information. You used to have to put in your 1040 information from the year prior in the system by hand. You had to hand jam those totals in. But last year, they implemented a system where all you had to do is put your social and it would sync with the IRS. It would pull in the data. Too many people were cheating is what was going on. So you would sync your tax information, pull it in, and it basically would qualify your kid for the amount of money that they're going to be allowed to get. Because the more you make, the less your kid gets, because you have to do your share of the contribution towards the, their education, or they have to go get a loan somewhere else. So hackers use this tool that was talking to the IRS to pull people's tax returns and get all the information off them. They were able to defraud the U.S. government of $30 million. And then initially, only 8,000 of those returns were falsely submitted. So in October, the IRS told the Department of Education the system could be used, but because up to 15 million people use the system for, it's not for convenience, you have to use it. There's no choice. You have to sync. They don't give you a choice because it's convenient. You're not allowed to type the data in yourself. Not anymore. But apparently they shut it down for a little while. The IRS flagged 100,000 accounts of people who started the application, used the data retrieval tool, but didn't finish. So they pulled in the information, got your all your stuff, and then the IRS is apparently alerting people now that they may have their information compromised. Did anyone have a notice from the IRS come that their data had been hacked via FAFSA and that data retrieval tool? Well, tax season is a boon for hackers. And according to the IRS, 2016 tax season saw a 400% increase in phishing and malware. And earlier this year, the agency reported that cyber criminals were trying to steal W-2 information in what they called one of the most dangerous email phishing schemes that they've ever seen. So you've got this old, antiquated, let's just use the three-letter designation, POS, that is being used to process our tax returns. So simply amazing. Okay, Mike, thanks for joining us on the show tonight. He says, remember how people hated the name iPad at first? iTab was preferred in polls. Mike says, also with all the smartphones on that plane, you'd have thought they'd have done this in a more civilized manner. You're right. This will cost them millions. Millions! All right, moving to the next topic here. Hackers, again, hackers. Might as well call them hackers. The FCC is reversing its proposal to allow cell phone use on planes. Thank the Lord. Oh my gosh. I did not want. There was a proposal in 2013 sought to roll back a longstanding regulation that banned the use of cell phones on planes over concerns that cellular signals can interfere with pilot radios. They were going to let us do IP calls. This is the only time where I truly get 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of like no phone calls. My phone doesn't ring. It's just a beautiful thing to get on an airplane. And, you know, once in a while, once in a blue moon, I'll work if I have really a lot of stuff to do. But typically the airplane time is my time. I can't imagine having some dude doing a business call, sitting beside me. You know how these guys talk and these big voices were on the, when they're on the phone? You know, that, oh my God. It's bad enough when you get someone that's just kind of a talker. But, this is the only thing so far the FCC's done this year that I agree with. Oh, man. But thank goodness. Okay, I'll admit, got back from the gym yesterday afternoon about 6. Had a very small bite to eat. And by the way, I'm at 201, folks. Hovering at 201. Probably up a pound or so, in around 201, 202. But I think I broke through the 203 barrier. I'm on my way to 199. We'll have a small mini celebration at 199, but I'm officially saying 14 pounds. I might not be able to hold it, but, you know, I'm at 201, so little by little. But anyway, got back after having a little dinner last night, went in, you know what it's like to, you have, like, fresh sheets on the bed, and I always, like, make my bed, make the sheets really tight. And, you know, they're crispy. And here in Hawaii, we don't typically have a blanket on the bed. Sometimes maybe a light comforter or something. But lay down on the bed, kind of got comfortable, turned on the TV. Better Call Saul was on Netflix. I think I watched the first 6 episodes straight through. I'll be done with it. Season 2, quick. Or is it the 3rd season, whatever it is. I love this series. Awesome. And, it's actually on AMC. I'm watching season 2 on Netflix. So I guess maybe I'll be able to do season 2 and season 3 at the same time. I don't know. Long story short here. Yeah, awesome. Totally awesome, this particular series. But what's on TV? Lots of stuff been popped. I have this link up in the show notes for you. A little more stuff about PewDiePie and his moving to Twitch and doing some stuff over there. And, of course, this is the guy that had the meltdown we talked about on the last episode. And he's testing his next show on Twitch. So he's the guy that says that Facebook is dead. I mean, YouTube is dead. So, anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. You know, we don't have Blue Apron as a sponsor here. They're not cool enough to sponsor this show. But they sponsored a lot of podcasts. And the company's built an impressive high-tech operation, and it's spending heavily to lure customers who are always a bad experience away from bailing. But check this out. they generated between $750 and $1 billion in revenue last year. And according to the company, they are profitable. They became profitable in quarter three, which is awesome. And these are a company that's backed by Venture Partners, Fidelity Investment, and Beesmer Venture Partners. You know, I'm thinking about starting a system called from a company called Icon Meals. I don't want to do the, I want something that's prepared. I can just put it in the microwave and 3 minutes, it's done. I don't want the Blue Apron thing. Yeah, that's a family thing where you make a dinner and it's maybe a good choice, but it's expensive. You know, it's really more than going to the grocery store and getting the raw materials. But it's not easy to persuade people to pay between $240 and $560 a month. Most of you, depending on where you live, $240 to $350 is probably groceries for the entire month, eating 20 meals at home. You know, $500 even for, you know, I've been feeding four here, even $500 a month, even in Hawaii. While I get to shop at the commissary and use Costco is still quite a lot. We don't spend near as much food as we used to, which is kind of weird. But but Blue Apron's, man, they're rocking. But people want convenience and healthy choices, and I guess this is it's a thing. Have any of you used Blue Apron? And if you have, what did you think of it? Did you like it? Love to hear from you. If you got comments on today's show, don't forget you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. You guys know the site Retail Me Not, San Antonio-based Harlan Clark announced Monday, and I don't know who that is, has acquired Retail Me Not for $11.60 per share, approximately $630 million. And that's huge. Retail Me Not's the world's largest coupon site. I'll be honest with you. Some of these coupon sites, I'd like to see them go away because they offer coupons to GoDaddy, and they often dominate the search results. So don't forget geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Retail Me Not is being sold. $630 million. If you have a VR headset, Expedia is going to let you check out your hotel rooms that you're looking to rent in VR. I think that's pretty slick. I like to look at the hotel rooms in circle view. Often hotels will give you that now. One thing I always look for in my hotel rooms when I'm getting ready to book in a property that I've never looked before, in the picture, I always look to see how many pillows they put on the bed. If they only put two, then it's pretty much a situation where the hotel's cheap. If there's like four on the bed, that's usually a pretty good sign. Don't ask me why, but it just usually kind of works out that way. If there's four pillows on the bed, they're usually pretty nice and they understand, you know, how to add a little comfort feature. You know, because how many pillows do you have on your bed, right? Two for each, you know, for your wife and you or your girlfriend, or two for you or three. The VR, the VR cameras or VR glasses will now let you look at hotel rooms in VR. Seven strategies to use public Wi-Fi safely on phones. I'm going to just tell you, I don't think there's any. And this is an article over at makeuseof.com. I don't care what they say. Public Wi-Fi to me is very, very scary. You shouldn't open PayPal or bank account or even use your email while using public Wi-Fi, in my opinion. Other people will disagree. But at least here are some recommendations if you're using public Wi-Fi a lot. Number one, make sure your phone stays updated. Number two, use mobile security tools, especially if you're using Android phones, as they have a malware problem. So you can get some malware software to put on your phone to scan your phone to see what's going on. So feel free to use mobile security tools. Number three, don't waste time with a slow public Wi-Fi network. And I've seen that before too, where you've got on and they're just, and you're like, this is free. this is good experience? No. Your mobile data is often faster than sometimes better than public Wi-Fi. Again, avoid financial transactions without protection. If you're going to be on something, ensure, absolutely ensure that you're on HTTPS. If you have the PayPal app loaded, the PayPal app has a good secure connection. You can be guaranteed if you're banking app, you can almost absolutely guarantee that that's a secure connection. But if you're going to, wellsfargo.com and logging into your account manually that way, that's probably not a good idea. Use two-factor authentication wherever possible. If your services that the accounts you log into on a regular basis, make it available. Always turn on two-factor authentication and always disable Wi-Fi when you're done. Also, they're saying don't connect to a public Wi-Fi without a VPN. And this is a new one for me. I've never heard this before. So there are some VPN applications out there. You just have to search the App Store for one. Probably a pretty good idea. All right. Link will be at the show notes on this. If you're driving into San Francisco Airport, it's going to be recording all visitor license plates now. And they are recording any license plate and keeping it in their data storage center for 4 years. So I don't know if any of you that listen to the show drive in and park your car at SFO. It's probably not a big deal if you are driving a rental car in and out of SFO because that car will be in and out of there 100 times. But just be aware that SFO is collecting license plate information when you go into the airport. Comcast, yes, the company that is the owners of NBC, they want to launch an NBC-focused TV streaming service. What does NBC even have for good programs anymore? I don't think I've watched an NBC-related television program unless it got syndicated and like into a set-top box in years. I wouldn't even know if it was created by NBC, but they're going to make an online service, or they're hoping to. There's good news out there. There are 11 states that are considering bills to protect your right to repair electronics. The right to repair movement is spreading. Recent legislation in Iowa, Missouri, and North Carolina have introduced bills that would make it easier for you to fix your electronics, joining 8 other states that have introduced right to repair legislation earlier this year. So currently, tech companies of lobbying have killed right to repair bills. And so again, the bills that have been killed include Minnesota and Nebraska, and Tennessee's decided to defer consideration of 2018. Legislation is still pending in New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, Kansas, Wyoming, Iowa, Missouri, North Carolina. I think I said Iowa already. They got this printed twice. So if I read your state and you want to have a right to repair your electronics, which sometimes they don't, you'll want to reach out to your ledge and say, hey, you support the right to repair. It's important that we have this ability. The shadow brokers are not real happy that President Trump launched 59 Tomahawk missiles at a Syrian airfield. The shadow brokers were the folks that had allegedly had some software that was that came from apparently from the NSA, or allegedly. And what they've done is they have, because they're unhappy and they were unable to raise money to actually sell these tools, they provided a password to unlock a portion of the tools that they had available. And folks doing a quick review of the more recent release stuff that they made available with this password, according to Edward Snowden, says that this should give the NSA the ability to instantly identify where the set came from and how they lost it. He says if they can't, it's a scandal, he added. So he's adding fuel to the fire here, but they weren't happy with the president's actions, so they opened up these hacking tools to the broader community, at least a portion of them. Also, remember the iCloud hacker and the guy in the UK that potentially got arrested because of this? The Turkish crime family who grabbed those headlines basically on Friday tweeted that they had been paid $480,000 in Bitcoin, though the screenshot that they showed, according to the Bitcoin folks, looks to be fake. So they may have just sent up a false flag saying we got paid, and they really didn't. But they say it looks like a fake, not that it is. So we will see. I'm sure there'll be some more news on this, on whether or not these folks got paid off by Apple or not. I highly, highly doubt it. There's a cool Wired article talking about a group of 300 people that got on an Amtrak train in Chicago, and for 52 hours on their way to a game developer conference in San Francisco, did an epic continuous dev, basically did dev to come up with a bunch of games. So this is a cool article. So if you're a dev, you're a graphics person, you're interested in the gaming space, it sounds like a lot of fun. A great way to travel, hang out with a bunch of geeks, build some games. Again, making video games the old-fashioned way on a 52-hour train ride. If I lived in the mainland, that's a stress-free travel. You know, you get to the train station, you check your bags, you get on the train, get a coach, you can have a cocktail, you can go to the lounge. If you're not on a schedule, and you're not in a hurry, you can see a lot of the country. And, I wouldn't want to do it all the time, but if I ever get back to where I'm living in the United States, I'm living in the United States, I live in Hawaii. If I ever live in the lower 48, I'd love to. I actually had someone tell me the other day, I had someone ask me the other day what country Hawaii was part of. That kind of blew me away. That's the second time in as many years that someone's asked me something like that. Hey, Carrie Fisher will be in the Star Wars Episode 9 without CGI. Apparently, there was some pre-recorded stuff in the previous production that they're going to be able to splice in, and her family has given permission for that to happen for the Star Wars fans. We'll see how that develops. AT&T has bought a company called Straight Path to boost its 5G spectrum holdings, spending $1.6 billion for that. And what they're buying up is the 735-millimeter wave license. They bought 735-millimeter wave licenses in the 39 gigahertz band and 133 licenses in the 28 gigahertz band. We've talked about this before, right? These are those line of sight where you have to have two antennas basically virtually pointed directly at each other for it to work. A short range, very high speed, but you have to see the source antenna. So, talking about bringing high-speed internet to homes in areas where they don't have fiber. So AT&T is still in the game here in a big way. How are we doing for time? I guess I'm okay. There's legislation being pushed in Congress to address United States citizens' fears of having their phones and other devices confiscated at the border. But even if that bill passes, the administration may still choose to gather foreigners' social media passwords and information, a policy that they're labeling as extreme vetting. In turn, Americans may become anxious that other countries will subject them to the very same treatment. They already do. This is stupid. This is a reporter that doesn't know what they're talking about. Go to Israel. Go to the Middle East. Go to Japan. If you don't think that your device in your laptop and your external hard drive can be taken away from you, and you put you in secondary screening, you wait for several hours until they get done looking at your device, you need to wake up. We've talked about this before. Foreign countries already do this. So just be aware. Don't go to Japan with any porn on your computer. If you do, be prepared to sacrifice that hardware. So anyway, they talk about this legislation and what's happening with folks coming in to this country, and they don't talk about what happens in other countries. There's a dangerous ruling on DMCA safe harbors that may backfire on Hollywood. There's some rulings that went down that could affect safe harbor for some very big corporations. And it's about a LiveJournal community. So essentially, LiveJournal, there was a community over there that had huge traffic. Oh, no, they didn't. ONTD, which covers celebrity news. Users submit various celebrity stories, and the ONTD has a bunch of volunteers that go through and moderate and determine which stories get published or not. And some of the images that were included were taken by a paparazzi outfit called Marvic. And instead of doing takedown notices, they just sued LiveJournal. And LiveJournal, when this ONTD site started getting a lot of traffic, they hired the number one moderator for that. And so because LiveJournal hired the moderator, and they have these little more touch of that person, and he's basically directing how the other moderators approving and disapproving people, and there is this, okay, does it mean that LiveJournal is going to be, could be sued, even though up to this point they've been covered by safe harbors? Potentially, but what this will mean is, if this ruling comes down, any organization that has a moderator that is paid, or even free moderator staff that is directed, they could end up being sued for copyright infringement without the safe harbor protection. So this is a big one, and a appeals court sent it back down, wanting some more questions answered in the case, but it's leaning towards where LiveJournal could be in trouble, which could just wipe out, including the, you know, and this would just affect everyone that has any type of forum system or has a moderated website, and it could backfire on Hollywood in a big, big way. So we will see where this leads. All right, the Raspberry Pi number 3. Is getting Microsoft Cortana with Windows 10 Creators Update. So users are going to now be able to make cool devices with Cortana built in. So be aware of that. I've got a Windows 10. I've been using it for a while. Actually, I'm supposed to do a review on it. It's pretty slick. It plugs right into the back of the computer. I'm back on my my flat screen, and it gives me the ability to have a basically a computer. It's not super. It's like a little device about size of a shampoo bottle, small one. It's got, you know, USB, it's got HDMI out, the whole nine yards. It's kind of like a Raspberry Pi, but one that's got a little more guts to it. So pretty slick. But any Raspberry Pi folks out there, I'd like to pick your brain sometime on that. Also, if you're an Xbox user, Spring Sale 2017 offers generous discounts on over 350 games. Check the show notes for that. Also, iPhone 8 pre-orders may start in September, but they think shipments may be delayed because of the OLED displays that are coming, taking a little bit longer to roll out. So if you're going to be upgrading to iPhone 8, make sure you get your order in early. GameStop has investigated a breach of customer data from its website. So be careful, because we know that GameStop announced a closure of at least 150 stores across the United States, but it is apparent that customers' financial data might have been breached in September 2016 till the first week of February 2017. The company's online website may have been compromised around this time. The stolen information is likely to include credit and debit numbers, expiration dates, and even a 3-digit security code. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Even customer addresses are said to have been breached, which should be a red flag. So, you know, this is why there needs to be a separation of church and state between, you know, when we do online transactions, we hand it off to our processor. We keep none of that data. We don't keep any customer credit card information whatsoever in our system. It gets sent. It doesn't. Oh, I just don't get this. I don't understand why companies. There's a modern way to offload risk. Use your credit card vendor to do that through modern APIs. I don't understand why companies still have all this information on their own service. It's insane. The iPhone 8 is rumored to sport smart connector, so maybe we're going to be able to do wireless charging. We'll see. It might be also for VR, AR accessories. So you don't have to have a plug. It's just kind of a, it lays up against something. So we'll see if this is actually the case. How many of you loved Pong as a kid? You can now buy a real life Pong table. It's not very expensive. They launched a campaign at Kickstarter where they're seeking funds to help make the Pong coffee table a reality. Safe to say this particular version looks a lot more finished than the one that they show on the website. They've exceeded their goal of $250,000. Now, it doesn't come cheap. If you want a Pong table, about $1,100. So those of you that are watching, haven't shown you guys too many screens tonight. So let me show you this thing. If I had a game room, I'm serious. If I had a game room, I would do what I could to buy this thing. It's awesome. Really, really awesome. Of course, many of you have never played Pong. It was the first game I ever played. And I was able to program it. I was able to program Pong to load on a TRS-80 via cassette tape. Doink, 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 back and forth. I think it's like 64 lines of code. It's not very, the code is nothing. So if you want a Pong table, I have a link up in the show notes for you. Tesla's also unveiled new solar panels. So this is not the ones that you basically embed as new tiles. These are actually new solar panels that would go on your roof. And just like anything else Tesla does, it's beautiful. It's not the same type of ugly solar panels. They've got edging and everything. So these panels are made by Panasonic exclusively for Tesla. And they're made at the Gigafactory 2 in Buffalo, New York. So these are going to be sold by Tesla. The panels have an integrated front skirt. This is smart. These panels will be going into production at the Gigafactory 2 this summer and will be used for residential projects moving forward. Someone will copy these skirts real quick as aftermarket products. I'd put them on my house. Google may be bringing curved screen to its next Pixel phone. I know a lot of you've got the Pixel phone. You absolutely love it. Angelo, my CIO, has one. Barry Kantz, my CFO, has one. Brian Yunke, my creative director, has one. They love the Pixel in a big, big way. And I personally think it's the nicest Android phone on the market. All right, any of you Cadillac drivers? I really love the Cadillac. I can't afford the Cadillac. I think if I was to talk my wife into let me trade my CX-9 in, I might see if I could swing it, but, I'd have to put a huge down payment. But the Cadillac CT6 is going to be... it's going to give Tesla a little bit run for its money. Outside of Tesla, semi-autonomous driving modes are still quite rare. GM wants to make it relatively mainstream. The upcoming 2018 Cadillac CT6 will be the company's first car with Super Cruise, a technology that can take over during highway drives. Of course, not too much of that here because we're in a parking lot on the highway. If you believe the Cadillac crew, this is the first production car with true hands-free driving. Where Tesla's new autopilot version requires you to keep your hand on the wheel, Cadillac only requires that you look at the road. An infrared camera on the steering wheel tracks your head to make sure you're paying attention, and your vehicle sends alerts even bring your car to a stop if you don't keep your eyes forward. They're going to be using extensive LiDAR data and onboard sensors and GPS. So let's see here. Oh my God, I can't afford this. The CT6 costs $66,290. That's the base price. Oh, if you'll need to buy a CT6 in luxury or platinum trim levels, which means at least $66,000, you have to pay at least another $2,500 to add super. If I'm going to spend $66,000 for a Caddy, I'm just going to go ahead and go for the full Monty and buy a Tesla. You know, come on. You're going to spend $66,000, you might as well spend $120,000, right? Gosh. Yeah, I must admit, Cadillac has a beautiful vehicle. Now, not so beautiful, Ford has come up with a hybrid cop car. It handles pursuit just as well and still gets 38 miles to the gallon. It'll actually be an electric vehicle, and it'll be kind of like the Chevy Volt a little bit, but a Ford version. And it's called a police responder hybrid sedan, and it's going to have a motor that keeps things turning when the battery's dead. So pretty cool stuff. They say it will be able to maintain pursuit speeds up to 60 minutes. Now, how many of you have left a job and left $35 million on the table? I can dare say there's probably no one that listens to this show. And if you do listen to this show and you've left that kind of money on the table from a job, you need to be like a platinum, super double platinum, quadruple, super Ohana member, doing a donation to the show. let's just leave it at that. But two Twitter execs left more than $35 million in stock options on the table when they quit last year. Stock that would be vesting over 4 years and netted them $35 million. They left and only got a small portion of that. You know it has to be pretty bad when you got $35 million guaranteed in stock options if you just hit the vesting dates. Who does that? Who walks away from that kind of money? Well, COO Adam Bain and CTO Adam Messenger gave up $35 million. I'm in the wrong job. Holy cow. Holy cow. You can eat a lot of dog crap. In other words, at work, things can be pretty bad to walk away from that kind of cash. They must have been able to. The only way you do that is when you can demand that kind of money external. Just crazy. All right, summer is coming. You're going to be going to the pool, going to the beach. You're going to need waterproof dry bags for your phones. There's a 3-pack deal from a company called MPOW. I'm familiar with this company. They do a real good job. Lanyard, a waterproof bag. Drop your phone in. This is really smart. $19.99 down to $12.99 on Amazon. I'll have the link available from PC World. I don't make any money on this link. PC World probably does, but just let you know. All right. Hey, remember that kid that said he was asked, who was it? What was the company that, Wendy's. He asked what it would take to get a year's worth of chicken nuggets. And Wendy's told him like 18 million retweets. Well, a whole company, a bunch of companies have been jumping on. And saying, hey, if you get this or you do that, we'll throw in this, we'll throw in that. And so, you know, the companies are, playing along with the PR game. But I think T-Mobile did it the best. The chief executive at T-Mobile offered a random teen, the 16-year-old, on the internet, a year's supply of chicken nugget if he switches from AT&T to T-Mobile. He said, I'll pay for it myself. You'll get a year's worth of chicken nuggets. All you got to do is switch from AT&T to T-Mobile. brilliant. John Legere over at T-Mobile, simply brilliant, and putting it to AT&T. I love it. I really, really do. Hey, remember our astronaut, Peggy Whitson, who has set all kinds of records. Well, she's become the first female space station commander, and she took the helm today. So congratulations to her for being the first skipper, female skipper on the International Space Station. So another first. Congratulations to her. Also, Pioneer legend, John Glenn. And he has been laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery. He's been interned there. So we know we lost him some months ago, but truly the essence of the right stuff. So again, if you get to Arlington National Cemetery, you can visit his grave. I'm sure it will be a spot that you can get to easily in the cemetery. So laid to rest there, Arlington National. All right, final news article of the day, and I did make it. I am over, though. A first, astronomers observed a supernova collapse in real time. This is the first time that they've ever observed this, so they're pretty excited about it and what they've been able to learn. So I'll have a link up in the show notes on that. Also, I you know, if you're going to send email, always send it to geeknews@gmail.com. We've had some emails come into geek@geeknewscentral.com. Even though I do get them, that email is kind of secondary to me. I do check it. Luckily, I caught this one almost immediately. But I got an email from Manuel. He's a longtime listener of the show. He said, "Hey, Todd, in the last episode, you said that people should buy the best NVIDIA card if they can, but the Titan X and the entire series of Titan cards is a ripoff as they cost $1,200 and deliver less performance than a GTX 1080 Ti. My understanding was it beat the TX, but you're saying that it doesn't? So he's linked me up to a video. He says, also, when it comes to 23andMe and DNA tests, we may want to make sure that 23andMe does not share DNA data with anyone else. I agree. Or even Ancestry.com, because they're doing it too. Because in the future, insurance companies will decline to sign you up because of some random DNA test. He said, this is why I won't make any DNA tests until I can make sure all the data stays with me. Thanks, and have a great day. So, Manuel, thanks for that. And of course, he's got a number of sites. You go to techgeektive.com. And so anyway, thanks, Manuel, for that. And I'll be definitely checking out the video. And if it definitely beats the 1080, if the 1080i is still better, or the 1080 Ti is better than this new Titan one. But again, most of you, at least $1,200 is out of the range of a lot of us. And of course, I bought a real, fancy NVIDIA card, and this computer can't handle it. Not enough power. Keeps causing me issues, so I had to revert back. So I probably should sell this video card. I think it was $500 or $600. Okay, I think that's it. geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go. Don't forget of our sponsor, GoDaddy. You can find those deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Please go over and support them. @geeknews is my Twitter account. Follow me on Facebook. Just search for Todd Cochran. Friend me. I'll friend you back. And feel free to send me an email about today's show. Anything that you like, love, hate it. I know we've been going long the last couple of episodes, so we'll try to tighten it up. I think the show's been great. Been in a lot of great content. Shared some good information with you tonight on United. Think about becoming an insider. And we do want to, you know, we've got more $25 a month donors. And also for the $25 a month donors, please keep track of your total donation to the show, okay? We want to make sure that when you hit the spigots that you get your reward, okay? It's very important. I try to track it, but you're the ones that are, you know, put in contributions to the show. So geeknewscentral.com/insider is a place to support. And believe me, every penny that you submit to the show helps. And supporting a show like this makes it possible so I can hire an assistant like Kirk. And been a long time coming. But everyone, thank you so very much for your ongoing support here. We'll see you next time. We'll see you Thursday on the Geek News Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. Stay subscribed. Aloha.